Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Open your Bibles today, please, the book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. We are going through a series of messages over the last several weeks on the aspect of our worship. With that, we gave you a definition of worship. Just simply means to ascribe excellence or honor to God alone. He is worthy, He is worthy of our worship. This morning, I'm going to preach a message simply entitled, and I pray that you will stay engaged with me on this because we're going to look right out of the Word of God, and here's the subject matter. Here's the topic of our sermon this morning. Is your worship worthless? Is your worship worthless? You say, preacher, whoa, wait a minute. Well, look in the book of Matthew chapter 15. And if you found your place, stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy word. The book of Matthew chapter 15. Verse 1 says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. Automatically, we know a little bit as to who these people are. These were the religious people. These were the churchgoers, if you will, if you want to give it kind of that backdrop. These are the people that had religion. But let me dig into this and let's see what God has to say about these religious people. You do know it's not religion that gets you to heaven, right? It's a relationship with God that only comes through saving knowledge in Jesus Christ the Lord, having your sins forgiven. Verse 2 says, notice what the Pharisees and the scribe, they're going to talk to Jesus about something that really seems insignificant. And it's very insignificant in the context of this passage. Notice their question, verse 2, why do thy disciples... So the Pharisees, scribe, they see Jesus, they're like, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And he's going to tell them what they're doing wrong, Pharisees and scribes. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. I would add to that, are you kidding me? Amen? But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So they ask Jesus a question. He turns it, and that's the best way as far as in a dialogue to get somewhere. They ask a question. Jesus follows it up with a question regarding their worship. For God, verse 4, commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say it to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made, look at this now, thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He uses the word again, tradition. Verse 7, very bold word, Jesus says to the Pharisees and scribes, ye hypocrites. Wow. Word hypocrite means pretenders. It also means to hide behind the mask. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah's prophecy of you, prophesy of you saying, this people, look at verse 8 now, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, verse 4 is where we draw the title of our sermon, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing in the reading of your word. We pray the Holy Spirit of God once again will just lead and guide, direct this service. May he be our teacher today. And Father, may you just challenge our hearts with your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Is your worship worthless? Jesus Christ, it was not unordinary for Jesus to encounter the Pharisees. It's fair to say that the Pharisees hated Jesus' guts. They hated him. And here's why they hated him.
Because Jesus was a threat to their religion. Because, see, they were holding on to their religion to get them to heaven when they died. But as I said to you on the authority of the Bible, it is Jesus and Jesus alone that man finds forgiveness of his sins and goes to heaven. These Pharisees were very religious. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, surely you know that, preacher, that sincerity is really the measure of truth. If a person is sincere in their belief system, if a person is sincere in their religion, then surely that's going to get them to heaven. May I remind you of September 11th, 2001? Is it fair to say that those terrorists were sincere in their religion? You say, yeah, but pastor, no, stay with me. Sincerity is no measure of truth. We have to know the truth. Jesus said in another passage of scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus says, you want to go to heaven when you die, it's not a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of having your sins forgiven. And that's, your sins can only be forgiven through my shed blood, Jesus declares, through my death, through my burial, through my resurrection. That is truth. You say, yeah, but preacher, not everybody believes that. Yeah, may I remind you something? Not everybody's going to heaven when they die. Well, preacher, that's not fair. No, hear my heart. If we got what was fair, we'd all be in hell. It's not about fairness. As we heard this week, it's about grace and mercy that God bestowed upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. And Jesus now wants to examine our worship. You do realize, listen, you do realize that the sole purpose to why you and I were created is to give him glory. We're here to worship him. We're here to ascribe honor. We're here to ascribe value. We're here to ascribe worth unto our Savior because he is worthy of it. You say, yeah, but pastor, well let's dig into this passage. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you one main point today. You're like, what a friend we have in Jesus. But there's four subpoints, all right? Here's the number one. Is your worship worthless? Here's what Jesus says. First of all, we see he appraised their worship. He appraised their worship. If you get an appraisal on something, it's to see how valuable that object is. So Jesus now is going to do just that. He's going to appraise their worship. If worship means to ascribe honor and excellence to God alone, Jesus now is going to examine the Pharisees and scribes, their worship, and see if there is indeed value and honor. So Jesus is going to do that. He's going to praise it. And in the context of this, Jesus is going to show them some signs that their worship is in vain. Their worship indeed is useless. He said, preacher, why are you preaching this to us today? We're not, bless you, we're not Pharisees and scribes. Why are you preaching it to us today? Well, we may not be Pharisees in office, but we may be Pharisees in practice. You say, preacher, that's kind of, well, here's what I've learned about God's word. God's word was given. One of the aspects of God's word, why it was given to us as God's children, was to cause us to stay right with God. To challenge us and challenge us in areas of our life. Now, I will say this, and just stay with me on this. As far as a pastor, as far as a preacher, there was times in my life, Brother Brian, that my worship was worthless. He said, Pastor, I can't believe you're telling us that. No, hear me. Because here's what I've learned about Satan, and here's what I've learned about the world. The Bible says we have three enemies. We wrestle against three things. The world. Can I get a witness in the building? The flesh and the devil. Those three enemies. The world. What does the world do? It has a sinward pull to it. The world wants, why did Paul say in Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? The world has a pull to it. The world has a mold. The world wants to take every believer in Jesus and conform them to look like it. And Jesus says, don't be conformed to the world. You see, conformance is outward. Jesus said, be transformed. Transformation is inward. That's what's so great about salvation. One of the vast differences between salvation and religion without Jesus is salvation deals adequately with really the need. It's a need of the heart. It's an inward thing, and it works its way out. That's what salvation does. Religion works from the outside in. But here's the only problem. That doesn't work. Conformity is not salvation. Conform. You say, well, what are you going to preach? Well, let's just look at this passage. And let's ask us some questions. What are some signs that our worship is worthless? Well, first of all, in this passage, and actually in a few verses before chapter 15, here's a sign that our worship is worthless when there's criticism instead of celebration. There's criticism instead of celebration. Now you say, preacher, where do you see that in this passage? Well, back up to chapter 14, because here's the backdrop to where the framework, to where we find Jesus talking to the Pharisees and scribes about their worship. It comes right after something miraculous. Something that everybody should have been celebrating. I mean, if you knew Jesus, if God was your Savior, this was an event that everybody should have rejoiced with it. But not everybody can. Why? Because often worship becomes more. I love, what's the song, Brother Stephen? Is my worship more than just a song? I can't think of the name of it, but it's a really good song. You need to listen to it. What is it? No. Heart of Worship, one of those. We constantly need to examine our worship. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you are aware, right? Look up here for a minute. You are aware that we have come this morning, and I pray to God this is true. We have come this morning to encounter an amazing God. We have come this morning to worship Him. We have come this morning to hear instruction that He has for us. I hope we have. So look at the text. Back in chapter 14, starting in verse 34. How to know that our worship may be worthless is if there's criticism instead of celebration. Verse 34 says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Verse 35 of chapter 14 of Matthew. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, knowledge of who? Knowledge of Jesus. When the men of Gennesaret had knowledge that literally Jesus Christ was in their midst, look what they did. They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. So they found out that Jesus was in their midst in the town of Gennesaret. They send out invitations. Hey, Jesus is here. You have a need? Come to him. Come see him. Look at verse 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Look at verse 36. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. They were made perfectly well. Now let's continue. You start in chapter 15. The Pharisees aren't happy about that. Those of you that are waving your thing, wave them this way. All right? They're not happy because those miracles did not fit into their framework of their religion. They didn't, it's as if they would say something like, here's would be a kind of maybe a statement of a Pharisee. We've never done it that way before. Good. Amen. Great. To God be the glory. Because God so wants to infuse our lives, and He literally wants to get so into our lives, that he affects every area.
You say, yeah, but preacher, here's a sign of a Pharisee. Yeah, but preacher, how do you really know if their salvation is genuine or not? Well, to be honest, I don't know if yours is. Amen? How do you know? Well, preacher, you baptize them. How do we know they're going to stick? Well, that's not up to me. That's up to Jesus. Amen? And the Holy, listen, hear me. If the Holy Spirit of God can't keep people faithful, I can't keep them faithful. Nor do I worry about that. Is your worship worthless? There's criticism instead of celebration. Now, these, bless you too. Cue the cough. No, just kidding. There's criticism. Look at Luke chapter 15 for a minute. Turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 15. And we're also going to look at another passage in Luke. So just kind of stay in that area. Luke chapter 15. There's tremendous, these are tremendous stories in this passage. You have a parable in the first seven verses of the lost sheep. You have a parable of the lost coin, verses 8 through 10. You have the parable of the lost son, starting in verse 11 and following. Here's the aspect of these verses. In chapter 15 of Luke, starting in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, the Pharisees were so, maybe this is why the Pharisees were so interested in Jesus, because he had something that they didn't have, and they knew it. See, that's what's so remarkable about salvation, true salvation. The ones that are truly born again, and those that are church people that truly aren't born again, there's an envy that often lost church members have, or lost people in general. There's an envy because they see the peace and the contentment, and they see the changed lives. They see stability in lives of believers. And oftentimes they look at that and they're thinking, wait a minute, I've got religion, but man, I don't have what you have. And I think that's the way the Pharisees were. So the Pharisees came to hear Jesus, verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, by the way, he still does. He still receives sinners, and thank God that he does. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Very interesting, underline the word lost. That which is lost. Until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So this is a phenomenal passage. Jesus is talking to Pharisees and these sinners, these scribes, these religious people, Pharisees in the crowd. And Jesus gives them a story. He said, hey, all you shepherds, Which one of you have 100 sheep and one of them leaves the fold? Which there's not one of you here that would not leave the 99 and go after that one. And when you found it, you put it on your shoulders, you rejoice. Look at verse number 8, verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. A signs of a Our worship is worthless is when we can't rejoice. There's constant criticism over celebration. You say, preach, I'll be honest, Brother Larry's song this morning, that's just not my cup of tea. That's okay. I love Larry. We still love Larry. I like that song. You also know that worship is not a style. Stay with me. I'm a hillbilly, man. It is what it is. My natural flavor, I'm like Brother Bill, I love bluegrass music. He doesn't. But I love that. I love a little beat to it. That's my preference. I love contemporary. So a lot of the contemporary stuff, some of the contemporary stuff ain't worth having. But that's what's so great about my Holy Spirit. He's a discerner, brother. We don't label everything. Well, preacher, I'll be honest with you.
I'm getting ahead of myself because I want to go somewhere with this. But here's the context of this. When there's criticism over celebration, it's time to celebrate, man. It's time to rejoice. Jesus Christ has found another one. And we rejoice. Brother Larry's like, nobody liked my song? Everybody liked your song. I'm just teasing, brother. I liked your tie, too. But Brother Larry don't normally wear a lot of ties. And he got up, Angie, I was proud of him. He got up here and he's like, I got this. I can do this. And you did it. Amen. He did it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Cheryl, love the songs. Listen, I love music that honors my Savior. And that's the way it ought to be. When we sing in the choir, man, I tell you what, I was in the back. I was shouting. I was getting into it. He said, preacher, getting too free around here. That's okay. Jesus Christ frees people from their sin. And it's okay to celebrate that. I'm not going to sit back and criticize it. The Pharisee spirit is when you go and you go to a service and you leave and the only thing you can do is criticize something that you didn't like. I tell you what, would to God that we never get like that. Would to God we don't come into this. I have preacher friends like that. My word. I have pastor friends that you try to talk to them and you try to rejoice with them about something. And then we went to a conference. It was a Southern Baptist church. Am I a Southern Baptist? No, I'm not. But they had a great service. They had great. And here's the thing about their service. It was encouragement to me. Am I linking up with the Southern Baptist? No, that's not my point. That's not my heart. My point of it is this. It was awesome. And it was encouraging. I had a pastor friend who said to me, he said, Tracy, why in the world? He's an independent Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist. He said, why in the world are you going to those Southern Baptist conferences? They're Southern Baptists. I said, let me tell you why. Because I go there to get encouragement. And I said, a lot of all the independent Baptist preachers want to do is fuss and fight and criticize each other. And I refuse to be in those camps. Amen? He said, well, Pastor, they may do something that I disagree with. It's okay. Anybody married here? Can I get a witness in the building? I'm not talking about you, Buttercup. I'm talking about all these other marriages. It's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice. Lord Jesus, please, don't ever allow my worship to become a time of criticism over a time of celebration. Larry's song, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my blessed, where we worship His holy name. Cheryl, I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. You say, well, Pastor, yeah, but the choir, you know, sometimes, you say, preacher, I'm just getting a little nervous. Sometimes, you know, I got to get down here because I'm about to say something that I may have done a cartwheel off the stage on. And I can't do that because it hurts things. Pastor, things are changing and that song really, I didn't really like that. That song's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. If somebody sings a song, it's maybe not necessarily my cup of tea, and I'm hooked on tea right now. But anyway, that's another sermon. Pray for me. I'm hanging out with you. I'm on science medicine, brother, and I am chasing rabbit after rabbit. But it's about Him. And you know what else I've learned about my Lord? God may be using that song to minister to somebody sitting right next to you. It's an amazing. We serve an amazing God, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about a style. So our worship, is vain because rather than celebration. I mean, but think with me, and I was thinking about this, Brother Bill, as I was sitting on the front row. Go back to your text. I got to get somewhere with this. I was thinking about this. I was sitting on this second row. I wasn't on the first. I was sitting on the second next to Brother Cup there. But here's what I was thinking. What if you were one of those diseased in Gennesaret? What if you were one of those diseased that your whole life you've had this infirmity that kept you from the temple where you worship, but because of your illness, because of your sickness, it kept you from the worship like everybody else. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in your town, and you have a friend that cares about you. And what happened if you were one of those diseased, and they bring you to Jesus, you just touch the hem of his garment, and you're made well? I got news for you, brother. I'd be shouting. I'd be celebrating. But here's what the Pharisees were doing. We never seen anything like that before. That person over there, every time preacher preaches and every time the choir sings, they shout. And Earl, did you see that person over there? And a man, they raised their hand. To God be the glory. You say, yeah, but preacher, I'm just not comfortable with it. To God be the glory. We get so comfortable. We get so in our comfort zones. And we eat at the same restaurants and we eat the same food. Oh, sorry, I thought I was by myself. But we get in our comfort zone. Hey, amen. Yeah. Number four, if it's Taco Bell. Number one, large, if it's McDonald's. Number one, with cheese, no onion, if it's Burger King. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. Don't you criticize me. We all have our struggles. Amen. Jeremy and Steve and a bunch of these boys that went with us. I avoid hunger pain at all costs. Cody, don't amen that. Don't criticize. We eat. Amen. Larry Herman, what'd you say to me up here at the... Was it you that said we drive 14 hours? What do? Amen. Sometimes we do both at the same time. But where was I going? I have absolutely no idea. Our worship is worthless when there's criticism over celebration. Where are you at today? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you've left the service for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist and you had nothing bad to say? Because that's what it ought to be. I was back to my preacher, some of my pastor buddies. It's constantly criticizing. Call and say, hey man, that heard this preacher, I listened to his amazing sermon. Yeah, Brother Tracy, and there was one spot in that sermon that I disagreed with. Well, maybe that spot in that sermon wasn't to you. Maybe it was somebody else. So I sincerely try my best. I try my best to refuse to criticize. I want to celebrate because he's worthy. Number two, we have signs that our worship is worthless when we value tradition over truth. We value tradition over truth. So here's the context. The Pharisees, who were supposed experts in the law of God, they were supposed experts on the Bible. You know, and I've found that there's a lot of Pharisees that are experts on the Bible. Stay with me on this. So they've just come from a revival. People's lives are being changed. I can't imagine if I was one of those diseased in Gennesaret that Jesus healed. My life now would be forever. My destiny now would be forever changed. You come to the chapter 15, the Pharisees are all upset about it. So they're going to pick on something else. They see the disciples of the Lord start eating. I think they were hillbillies. Because they didn't wash their hands. And they start eating. And the Pharisees are like, Listen, there's nothing better than going fishing, having nightcrawler dirt all over your hands, and eating a bologna sandwich and chips. It's amazing. If you've never had that, I'm sorry for you. And by the way, my personal opinion, you young moms, I love you, but hear my heart on something. You say, preacher, I'm not going to put my kids in that nursery because there's all kinds of germs in there. Well, here's what me and Miss Leslie did. By about hour number 8, no, maybe not that soon, but within the few days after having the babies, you know what we did? We put them in that germ-infested nurseries. And here's what we did. Our attitude was, get them immune to it, amen? It's just like giving them a shot. You get injections to get you immune to it. So get your babies in the nursery. And as far as in that context, you say, where are you going? And just hear me for a minute. Just stay with me. Stay engaged in this. So these Pharisees, they're critical. But then they're like, hey, we got traditions around here. And by the way, just I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying this of Emmanuel Baptist. God knows my heart in this because we don't really face a lot of this. In a lot of churches, tradition is killing a lot of churches today. Dying on hills that aren't in the Bible. Well, preacher, you better be wearing a tie every time. Show me that in Scripture. I like wearing ties. I mean, not always. Anymore, they drive me nuts. Well, preacher, I won't listen to a man unless he's got a suit on. Well, hear my heart on something. If this suit makes me spiritual, I'll sleep in it. It has nothing to do with a suit. It has nothing to do with a tie. It has nothing to do with a style. A lot of churches are dying because of that. Well, bless God, we've done it for 60 years this way. Yeah, maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's wrong. Well, but no, I tell you what, we've always held on to these standards. I'm not against standards as long as they're Bible standards. Amen. Tradition over truth. Look at the text. Your disciples, Jesus, they didn't wash their hands. Jesus says, great. You're an expert on the commandments of God. I've got a commandment for you. The Bible declares you're to honor your father and mother. Here's what Jesus was doing. Jesus said, hey, you want to hold on? Matter of fact, the Pharisees, they were so experts on the law, there wasn't enough laws when they read them, so they added 613 to theirs, to God's. I mean, they love the law but you're aware that the Bible also declares that the law kills. You can't go to heaven by living by the law. You go to heaven only with a relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord, having your sins forgiven. So they held on to tradition over truth. Look at the text. Why do you? Jesus says, verse 3, he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God? Now, you could have heard a pin drop, brother, in this meeting. The Pharisees were so pious, they were so arrogant, they were so, what's the word? Another passage of Scripture says they trust in themselves, and they looked around other people. Look at Luke 19. I got to go there because it's really set this up. Hold your place, turn to Luke 19. Let me give you a passage. This is tremendous because this really explains what I'm about to tell you. Verse 9. No, Luke 18, verse 9. Give me just a few minutes and we'll be done. And he spake this parable. A parable is simply an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning. There's spiritual truth that he's going to illustrate by using a just simple earthly story. He gives a story. He says, spake this parable unto certain, here's who he's talking about in this parable. Unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. See, that's what Pharisees do. Pharisees look at other people and they say, man, I'm so much more better than you. I'm so glad I'm so much more spiritual, than you are. I'm such a better person. No, you're not. You're a sinner, man. at best, saved by the grace of God if you're truly born again. And this, so he's directing this parable to these self-righteous people. Verse 10 says, two men, Jesus says, went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, oh, here we go again. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. A publican was a tax collector. Tax collectors in the first century were hated. It's another sermon. They were despised. And the reason they were hated was because Caesar demanded, let's say the Caesar demanded that he get $10 of taxes. Publicans would often say, yeah, I'm going to collect 15. And they would pad their pockets with the other five. So they were hated. And they were looked down upon. They were the most wretched to some that ever walked the face of the planet. So that's the context. So these two men, a Pharisee and a publican, goes up to the temple of worship to pray. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. God, you can hear him. I said this Wednesday night. Here's the Pharisee. And I think here's how Pharisee's doing. I think he changed maybe his vocal tone on this. I don't think it was God. I think it was God. Right? God. I thank thee. Look at it now. That I am not as other men are. And I think he's got one eye open. He's looking. See him, God. Oh, God, I'm not as other men, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, self-righteous. You say, oh, preacher, nobody does that today. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I've had preacher friends say to me, I would never listen to a preacher that wasn't wearing a tie. Yeah, and you're an idiot. Because it's not in Scripture. So let's examine this for a minute. So what you're saying is if you lived in the first century, you would not have even listened to John the Baptist. Traditions of men, man. Traditions of men. I fast. I hear him again, verse 12. The Pharisee's still going on. He's not done yet. He's got to impress God now. You see, when worship is about you, it's about you trying to impress God. When worship is about Jesus, it's not a matter of you impressing God. It's realizing how unworthy, how unholy, how lost you were, in need of God's forgiveness, and you're overwhelmed that he saved you, and you bow before him when it's about Christ. Just a thought. Preacher, did you see what that girl had on? No, not really. I can't believe he'd wear something like that. Well, maybe. Let's try something. Why not we leave it up to the Holy Spirit of God to change their dress? Well, you know, a woman ought not wear pants. That's right in the Bible. It's not in my Bible. And it's not in yours either. What is in the Bible is modest apparel. Now, ladies, I'll be honest with you. You ought not dress like a floozy when you come to the house of God. That was a big rosyism. Some of the girls I dated, that's what she called them. I'll tell that floozy what I think about her. That's what big rose, she used to do that. True story. I'll get on the other phone and I'll tell them, wait, big rose, chill. Honey, I'll give you 5 minutes. She used to love saying that too. She didn't give me the full 5 minutes. It was like 5 seconds. Got to go by a click, you know. Well, preacher, yeah, it is in the Bible because preacher, that's what I've been taught my whole life. Well, it's the tradition of men. Well, preacher, I've been taught my whole life that a preacher ought to wear a tie. Tradition of men. And there's nothing wrong with the tradition, but there is something wrong with tradition when it weighs heavier than the Word of God. On the authority of God's Word. Now, are we saying that as far as in our worship, that we're going to stand in this platform and dress immodest and dress immoral and just dress, you know, like whatever we feel? No. Our Lord is worthy. He's more worthy than that. We ought to give our best. That's my stand on dress code. We ought to wear our best. He's worthy of that. It's quiet in here, but that's okay. Let's get back to the Pharisee. Verse 12 of Luke 18. God, I fast twice in a week. I give tithe, God. I'm the spirit of a Pharisee. If I withheld my tithes, that church would close its doors, Earl. Right? No, it won't. It's God's church. He'll take care of it. Well, look at the publican. And the publican standing afar off. You see, when you realize how lost you were, and you realize how undone you were, and you realize how unworthy you are, and you realize it was all because of the grace of God that He saved you. When you come to the house of the Lord, it's not about people seeing me. We preach the sermons, Brother Stephen, you preachers, it's not about people seeing us. It's about people seeing Jesus Christ. This publican, he stands afar off. Verse 13. I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like this publican. He would not lift up so much as his eyes in the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When worship isn't about tradition, but truth. It's humbling to think that a God who created this world would die on a place called Calvary for me. He doesn't look like that Pharisee. Let's look at the Pharisee for a minute. This publican doesn't look like the Pharisee. This publican doesn't have the language. He doesn't have the look. He doesn't even have the language of the Pharisee. He can't impress people. Oh, this publican, he doesn't have the... He doesn't even know the words to the songs that they're singing like that Pharisee does. Tradition. Well, preacher, If it ain't sung in a hymn book, it's not of God. Are you kidding me? I got news for you. There's a lot of great, tremendous new songs that ought to be sung in every church in America. Tremendous songs. Well, preacher, I just think that hymn book is just amazing. Are you aware? Here's something else. A lady one time was arguing with another religious person about music in the church. And she said, I just think music in the church ought to come straight out of him, but God ought not come. And this one preacher, he says, do you sing the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? She goes, oh, yeah, that's a tremendous song. He said, are you aware that the man who wrote that, Martin Luther, he wrote the words, and he put the words of that song to the tune of a bar song. Wow. Some of you are like, yeah, I got some bar songs I want to put some Christian lyrics to. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Oh, goodness. There's a tear. Never mind. We'll leave that alone. Oh, goodness. I had a flashback there for a minute. I'm a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll. I'm just telling you. But it's not about a style. It's about truth. It's about truth. This publican said, God, I'm in need of your mercy. Verse 14, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Went down to his house justified rather than the other. Who was the other? The Pharisee. Jesus was constantly dealing with Pharisees. So what does the message have for me today? Are you a Pharisee? I want to finish this sermon tonight. Next Sunday night, we'll get back into I Am a Church Member series. You say, preacher, you know it's Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Come to church tonight. You'll be a lot better off. The lions aren't in it anyway. And if you don't come back to church, I'm going to pray to God that they never are in it. Amen. Yeah, preacher, I got a big party planned. Well, I promise you in here, there's going to be a big celebration going on. Amen. Phariseeism. Criticism over celebration. Tradition over truth. So I'm not against tradition. But make sure that tradition is founded on the Word of God. Amen. They don't go in opposite directions. Well, preacher, I just think, and I'll be honest, Pastor, I'm just going to tell you right now, it really upset me when we got rid of them pews up there. Well, let me just go on record and say something to you. When you're big like me, it's nice to have your own chair. Well, preacher, we get rid of them pews, we're just getting liberal. Well, are you aware that many decades ago, they had fold-up theater-style seats in churches? Maybe many of you may have sat on them. It's not about a pew. It's not about a pew. It's about a person, man. It's about Jesus Christ the Lord. We'll talk tonight on a sign that you're a Pharisee. It's when you're more worried about your outward appearance. It's, you know, than the internal aspect. It's when you're more worried about looking right than being right. A lot of that going on in churches today. A lot of that going on. A lot of that going on in pulpits across this land. Preachers more interested in looking right than being right. That's why preachers are falling by the wayside like crazy. Pride creeps up. Looking right, then being right. What to God, we're like that publican. We understand that we're unworthy. We look at this Pharisee and we think to ourselves, man, he's an amazing person. Wow, look at him. Listen to his prayers. Wow, look how he looks. Look how he's dressed. God be merciful unto me. God, I'm in need of your mercy. Here's the invitation. Are you here today in need of the mercy of God in your life? It won't be your religion. I pray to God you hear this statement. It will not be your religion that gets you to heaven when you die. It won't be your language. It won't be your look. It takes you being like this publican, acknowledging you are a wretched, vile, ungodly sinner in need of God's forgiveness. You say, preacher, why would I acknowledge that? People would think bad about me. The Bible already declares it about you. And it doesn't. We don't measure ourselves up by other people. That's what that publican was doing. God, I thank you. Can you see that? I try to flesh this out. Can you see him? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Oh, God, as a matter of fact, to illustrate that point number three, this guy. You know, you're a Pharisee when you sit in church and you look around and you start comparing yourself to other people and you think, man, that person over there, man, I can't stand that person over there. Oh, that person over there. Huh, Earl, did you know what she did? Earl, did you know what he said to her? Earl, did you see them teenagers? They got them streaks in their hair, Earl. They got them purple streaks in their hair. Well, yours is going that way too someday, I promise you. I've driven around a few of you in the highway. I can't wait to get to the age where I can put my truck in reverse and just back out without looking. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait till I take a highway and just, doesn't matter, 70 I know, I'm getting there on 25 and everybody else is going to go around me. And then you beep on them and then they're like, you want to go, son? You know, that's how seniors do you. But here, the invitation, are you in need of God's mercy today, friend? I promise you, he's here. He's here. And he'll change your life like he did the diseased in the town of Gennesaret. You could walk out of these doors spiritually whole today.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.